But hey, this morning we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. It's one of my favorite topics. And wow, the Holy Spirit has revolutionized my life. That's all I can say. And so when we get to talk about the Holy Spirit for today, I get excited because I know what he's done for me and I know what he can do through each of our lives when we just really relinquish our control over to him and just say, Lord, you've got something better. Come and do it. And, you know, I was asking Leslie the other day, said, hey, what's kind of a catchy name? You know, talking about the Holy Spirit. That just seems too, flat line. And so we came up with all these ideas, and that's why we've got the Holy Ghost is no spook. And, you know, is anybody here like scary movies? You like to go be scared? Some of you do. Some of you won't admit it. Yeah, that's the way it works. But we're not talking about a haunting. We're not talking about the paranormal here. Today we're talking about the gift that is not in the least bit scary. It's not an evil spirit, but it's the Holy Spirit. It's the person of God who is saving and empowering people today. And by the way, the Holy Spirit carries the full personality of God, full personality of Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit. He's not an it. He's not a thing. He's not a substance. He's not a goo. He's not an ointment that you spread between your toes. You know, ooh, he's he is the Holy Spirit. He is the personality of God. So the Holy Spirit. I remember when my kids were really small. I've got two daughters, Olivia and Hillary. Yeah, and Hillary always had this big ponytail, and she would never go anywhere without her ponytail. I guess that's kind of hard to do if it's already attached to your head. But she would never let her hair down. It was always a ponytail. And she was the spunky one. Olivia was like the, I don't know, the brainy one. They're both smart. But Olivia would always get picked on by other kids in the neighborhood for whatever reason. And Hillary, man, you know, when she would hear about her sister, someone rejecting her sister, she would be like she'd get between that person and her sister, and she'd put her hands up like this. This little ponytail kind of going off to one side. You know, it's kind of like, you mess with my sister, you mess with me. You know, this is little things like, what a joke. You know, it was hilarious. But when someone would reject her sister, or when someone said bad things about her sister, she was ready to take them on because her sister mattered to her because she loved her sister. And, you know, I think so often with the Holy Spirit, that's the way sometimes it works, because I think too often there are too many people that reject the Holy Spirit. And it's kind of like, God, how can God not be upset with that when this is a person of the Trinity? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all the personality of God wrapped up into the Holy Spirit. And we need to treat the Holy Spirit with the same respect as we would God. And the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a blessing to empower us. What a great thing. I don't know about you, but I need all the help I can get. I need God's strength. And the Holy Spirit's been sent to empower us to have victory over sin and have new dimension in prayer. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, if you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Spirit, you know what I'm talking about. You have a new dimension in prayer. You have a stronger desire to reach the unsaved, and God gives gifts for ministry. What a deal. And it's a gift. It's free. And the only prerequisite is that we have to know Jesus. We have to have him as our Lord and Savior. And the Bible says, if we know him, we can ask for this gift from the Holy Spirit. And in this day and age we live in, folks, we need that tremendously. He's so much changed my life, I can't tell you where to begin. I can't even think what my life would be like without the power of the Holy Spirit. And I need more. You know, I've heard someone say, hey, you know, we need to constantly be asking for more of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we leak. We're like a boat with holes in it, you know? We leak. And we need to be refilled from time to time. And all through the Old Testament, oh, I forgot something. Holy Spirit imparts power, boldness to witness, holy fear of God, understanding, guidance, and spiritual gifts. Good stuff. Nothing wrong with any of that. You know, in the Old Testament, we see examples all the time of the Holy Spirit even moving upon people for special circumstances and situations. You got Gideon, you got Moses, Samson, the prophets, and on and on and on and on. How God anointed them with power for a specific purpose, for the purposes of God. Then we got Jesus' ministry. Man, was his ministry ever an example of the power of God? Remember when he was baptized by John, it said the Holy Spirit descended upon him, something in the form of a dove. That was probably the best thing they could describe it. They probably didn't know how to describe it. In the form of a dove. No, it was not a little white bird that floated down. I've got those around my house, and they're quite messy. But it was the Holy Spirit that descended upon him and empowered him. From that point on, Jesus began to do miracles. Jesus began to do the things that God sent him to accomplish on planet Earth after the Holy Spirit empowered him, with not the least biggest miracle being the resurrection from the grave of Jesus Christ to give us all hope for our own life. And that's why we just had Himmelfahrtstag, or Ascension Day, here last Thursday to celebrate Jesus' resurrection into heaven. But just before Jesus went to heaven, he was talking to his guys, the disciples. And he tells them they're about to encounter the fullness of the power of the fire of the Holy Spirit. He's about to tell them, wait, something else is going to take place. You ain't seen nothing yet. And he tells them that they're going to receive this power that's going to enable them to obey and fulfill the plans of God in their generation and beyond. Look at the prophet Joel here. This is prophesied in the Old Testament. And afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters, they will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. These were God's promises of restoration for his people if they would seek God with repentance and humility. A sincere heart, God never turns away. God's saying, I've got something in store. Something is going to happen. They were prophesying an event that yet was to take place, but it was going to happen just as sure as the clock ticks. And those days arrived in Pentecost when all the guys were in the upper room. You know, some of us, I think, are already arguing. The minute I mention the Holy Spirit, boy, that divides some people. I know that. And I'm taking a chance. If you're new here for the first time, welcome. You're going to hear about the Holy Spirit today. I'm going to say, what did I get myself into today, Martha? And there's doors here. You can run if you need to. We're not going to be spooky, like we said earlier. This is the person of God. Nothing to be afraid of. But some of us are already arguing in our heads, you know, about how we do not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How we've been told it is not for today. How we have been told that it's weird and freaky. And God will make us into robots. And we'll start to bark like dogs. And we'll... I mean, you know, we've got all this wild stuff, all this imagination that goes on that we think is going to make us look like foolish puppets for God. That's not the truth at all. Too often we're willing to settle, you know, for kind of a 5-year old Jesus. You know, we want just enough of Jesus to be comfortable. We want our salvation. Oh, yeah, we want to get to heaven. We want our fire insurance, but we don't want to pay the premium, you know. We're willing to take that 5-year-old Jesus. But God says, I've got so much more. Why do you want to settle for the minimal? You know, I used to say, I was going to actually do it this morning, and then my wife advised me not to. She's kind of the Holy Spirit for me sometimes. But I was going to take an old Bible. I used to do this. Maybe Becky and Matt, you remember this from youth group. I don't know if I did this when you were there. You know what I'm going to say? No, maybe not. I'd have somebody planted on the front row, and I'd talk about the Holy Spirit. And I would say, hey, do you believe in the stuff that we're talking about? And he'd go, nah. Say, can I see your Bible a minute? And I would take his Bible, and I'd turn to, like, the book of Acts, and I'd rip it out. Then I'd find some other things to deal with the Holy Spirit. Rip them out. And so the Bible was now a very compact version. Compact Jesus, 5-year-old Jesus. And I would give it back. I said, that's all the Bible you need because that's all the God you want. Point being made that the Holy Spirit is something we need. It's not a joke. It's the power of God for our life. You know, as much as we say, and we like to say, that we interpret truth by this book right here, the Bible, by God's Word, and we believe it's infallible, that it cannot make a mistake, we're also products of our own traditions, our own cultures, and the teachings we've heard. You know, the minute we start to talk about the baptism in or the gifts of the Holy Spirit for today, there are many preconceived, pre-thought views that conjure up, you know, in our head because we've been taught these as correct concerning these matters. But most of these have been derived from our own experiences. Let me put it in a different way, from our lack of experience. What it is, fear, lack of experience concerning the Holy Spirit, not on biblical teaching. Because if you would look, you would see different. The truth is this. If you had put a new believer, someone says, okay, I want to accept Jesus. And they pray and they mean it. And okay, great. Now here, take this Bible, go in that room and don't come out for a couple weeks. We'll bring some food to you occasionally. Don't worry. You won't come out for a couple weeks. We just want you to read the Bible, start in the New Testament, okay? And read there. And then after 2 weeks, you tell us what you believe. I can just about guarantee you that any new believer that has a Bible, they study it, they would come out believing in miracles, signs, wonders, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. They'd come out believing that until someone would tell them not to believe. That's the truth. I remember when Leslie told me, I wasn't there, because if you were here last week and you heard about me being the bad boy and we were apart for all that time. She prayed for me 7 years, and that's the quick of it right there. But I remember when she received Jesus, she went forward for an altar time at the inn where people were praying, and she didn't know what she was going up for. She just knew she wanted more of God, and she walked up to the front, thought it was kind of like another thing about being saved, asking Jesus into her heart. And she's praying, and they're praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She didn't know what to expect. She didn't know anything. But she received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And she didn't know that you're not supposed to have that today. She just believed like a child. This is God. God is good. God wants to do things in my life. If he wants to give me something, I'm willing to take it. Fair enough. And she began to pray for me. Actually, and I've never thought of it this way, but her prayers were much more impactful, much more powerful at that point to probably change my life. Because those of you who were last week know that it took 7 years to get through this skull before I would finally accept Jesus. I remember when I went up to the front to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I knew what I was doing, but I was scared stiff. I didn't know what to expect. All these spiritual people were around me, and they were all, I knew they were spiritual. You know, they looked spiritual. You know, they had all the form. They had all the movement. They weren't afraid to lift their hands. You know, they just were spiritual. They looked spiritual. And they were talking in tongues a mile a minute, this new language that the Holy Spirit provides us. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I remember going up and wondering, how does this work? And now they're praying over me, and I'm like, I'm supposed to be spiritual. I'm supposed to be like them. And I felt it was such a battle that was waged in my head right then at that moment. I did receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it wasn't with a real struggle in my mind about how this was going to happen and about how I would look. My pride was getting in the way. And very often fear and pride are linked together. And they keep us from the good things God has. That's not faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. Well, I believe there are many of us who love Jesus with all our hearts, but yet we're afraid of this idea of the baptism of the Holy Spirit as Jesus taught his disciples. in the book of Acts. And in Acts 1, 4 through 5, it says this. On one occasion, Jesus, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but he said, wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So we're talking about two things. The baptism of John, which is a baptism under repentance. It's different than being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Entirely a different, separate occurrence. He said, yeah, I know about all this, your baptism of John. But he says, you are about to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And he gave them this command. He did not give them this suggestion. He gave them a command. These were the people that for 3.5 years sat at the feet of the master, watching him do all these fantastic things, hearing about all these fantastic things, being instructed. And yet Jesus said, oh, and one more thing. Don't dare go out and try this on your own. It's like the disclaimer on TV. Don't do this at home. So don't attempt to go out until you've been empowered with something I'm about to give you. And I'm sure, you know, no one had told them about the Holy Spirit. They didn't. What is this God that you're talking about? They had no clue. But the baptism in the Holy Spirit was to be the sign and dynamic mark of the followers of Jesus Christ. You understand? That was to be the sign. That was to be the dynamic mark of the people that loved Jesus and followed after him. And Jesus said, it's a command. A few devoted followers were about to receive that gift that would transform their world and probably be responsible for our salvation today. Just think of it. A few people that took Jesus to heart were empowered by God through the Holy Spirit, and today we're hearing the same message. And all without iPhones. What a miracle. It is necessary that we seek that same gift he has promised so that we can continue the disciples' work to touch this world with the purposes of God. How important is it? Well, let's look what it says in Acts 1:8. Says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of this earth. So, if this gospel message of the forgiveness of sins and restoration in Jesus Christ is important to us, then that should be really important to us. To be the proper witness Jesus wants us to be effective in touching this world. The same way we were touched. And I realize there's some of us in here that when I say saved and that sort of thing, you're really not sure what I mean by that. And at the end of this service, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will really begin to soften your heart, to take the clutter out of your head and all that teaching and all the misunderstanding that has flooded into you and developed a fear cycle in your life that's afraid to trust God, let alone other people. For anything in your life, and that you might find the hope that's in Christ, that name that I said, Jesus, that's above every name, including yours and mine. You know, we're not just born to get degrees. We're not just born to get rich. We're not just born to become famous. Our investment needs to be in the souls of men, the souls of men. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. I love nothing better than to see someone come to Christ. I love to hear prophecies. I love to see healings. I love the gifts and the power and the miracles of God. But the biggest miracle of all that is my favorite is seeing someone come to Christ, because apart from that, nothing else counts. Salvation in Jesus. Luke 3, 5:15 through 17 says this, I baptize you with water. This is John the Baptist speaking. But he said, one who is more powerful than I will come. Says, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Wow. That's where you hear people say, I'm on fire for God. That's kind of, I know that can be overused, but that's kind of where that comes from. Jesus had been crucified, he'd been resurrected, and had appeared to the disciples over a period of 40 days on and off, instructing them and appearing to them. He'd given them clear commands not to get out on this ministry until they received the Holy Spirit. But they could only act on faith and know that the master had commanded it and that it must be really, really important. So these guys, there's 120 of them, followers, believers in the way of Jesus Christ. And Jesus had told them to go to the upper room and wait. They were in the upper room waiting. The day of Pentecost is coming. Next weekend, we're going to celebrate Pentecost. And we're going to pray for us to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So if this is scaring you today, you may not want to come back next week. If you, just a little disclaimer, want you to come back. Don't get me wrong. But next week, we're going to do that. Today, we're not going to do that. We're going to talk about it. But 120 people, men and women, doing what God had commanded them to do, to wait for the promise of the Father, waiting for the promise of your Father, our Father in heaven. Waiting for that promise, the power of heaven. Keep in mind, these guys were already believers in Jesus. Already Jesus had breathed on them the Spirit of life. This is a separate occurrence, so don't get that confused. This was a new thing. And in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. It says this, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together. They were in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. May I underline the word all? I have people all the time tell me, oh, Pastor Ken, I prayed for the Holy Spirit before and God just doesn't want to give it to me. Wrong. No. God is no respecter of persons. He said, but my personality is not to respond emotionally. You know what? You had every personality under heaven in that room. You had crazy Peter. You had tranquil John. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues. It didn't say that a few of them were excused. They all received this gift from God. Every one of them began to speak in a new language, this heavenly language. The Bible says you can speak in tongues of men, like we're talking now, and angels, an angelic language, something inspired from heaven, a divine language that God will give us to be able to pray and to talk and talk to Him. They had no idea what it looked like until that happened. You know, and there's so much misunderstanding today, we're still trying to explain that away. Kind of like, oh, well, tongues are made up. That's practice. That's rehearsed. I can tell you when I started mine, I couldn't rehearse that because it was really dumb. I sounded like a motorboat. I mean, I was like, here are all these spiritual people praying over me. And I'm like, I'm supposed to blah, blah, all this flowery, oh, that's God kind of thing. But I sounded like, I was like, boo, 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 boo. It was like, okay, yeah, that's pretty authentic. And God changed it, though, because I didn't give up. I didn't let, and it was tempted to let my pride and my fear go, this, you sound stupid, just shut up. I'll guarantee you, when you seal your mouth, God's a gentleman. He's not going to come up and slap you, say, wake up, speak. He only cooperates when we cooperate with Him. So we're still trying to explain away, you know, all this stuff. About, you know, we say, well, I can do just fine. I know great people that aren't filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're soul winners. They're out there doing great things for God. You're right. But how much more could they do if they were filled with the Holy Spirit? You ever think of that? And how much more should we be doing with what the Holy Spirit's given us? See, we've been taught that these gifts are not for today by people who do not believe it. Not based on theology, because if you read this, you would prove it. But based on their fear and lack of experience. Let's put it that way. Based on their non-experience. Simply never witnessing for themselves, therefore denying that it ever exists. And then there's tradition, you know, those things that have been handed down to us from one person to another that may support our unbelief in the Holy Spirit. But it really boils down to the lack of experience with the Holy Spirit that seals the deal. And here's the point. Christians do not believe in the miraculous because these gifts have passed away or the lack of biblical proof. They do not believe simply because they have not experienced them. I can say that's true because I know the difference. And I knew how I felt before and the fear that the enemy, the devil, tried to get me to believe so that I would not receive something good from God. We must understand the devil always tries to take away the things that God means for our good if he can do it by lying to us. Always. So it's a given. That's his job. It's what he does, and he does well. And we need to be aware of those devices and schemes of the enemy. You know, and anyone who wants to argue against the infilling of the Holy Spirit today and the gifts cannot make that valid argument from Scripture, but rather just that lack of experience. Another reason is the misuse. Some people say, I don't want to act like a robot for God. I've heard of those stories of revivals where people get down on their knees and they begin to bark like dogs. That was going around in the U.S., where I'm from. And I remember going to, there was a revival, to use that word, in Pensacola, Florida, called the Brownsville Revival. And I knew some people involved in it from other ministry things. But it was an undeniable move of God. Undeniable. And I went down there to check it out for a week. And just to see what it was like. And I'd heard rumors. I'd heard stories. Oh, people doing freaky things. And they're howling like wolves, barking like dogs, crawling around on all fours. You know, you hear all this stuff. And they're usually from people that are afraid, number one, from their own lack of experience. I remember going down there and seeing things happen. I thought, only God could do this. Seeing miracles. Seeing people being water baptized, coming up out of the tank, speaking in tongues, and the power of God being so strong that they couldn't even carry them out of the tank. They would just fall back in the tank. The power of God was so strong. I remember seeing people getting prayed for and being healed. I remember deliverance. There'd be guys that would come up there, and they'd be using every swear word that they knew. God just delivered me from this F and this and this and... And even though in church you're not supposed to hear those things, it was fantastic because these people were so freshly delivered, they didn't know how else to express. That was their habit. I would say, hey, give someone some time. Let God clean them up. God takes us like fish just the way we are, but he has to work on us to clean us up. It takes time sometimes. And to see the power of God. And I remember coming back and hearing people, oh, yeah, that thing's all a fake. And I'm like, no, it's not. Mm-mm. I've seen, I've experienced, I know. And I could tell what's real and what wasn't. And there were people helping God out, you know what I mean? Falling on the floor and flopping around and stuff. I'm like, that's not God. But I did see some people fall, but it was God. Sometimes people want to be a part of something so bad. They fabricate it. But that's not God's fault. That's our fault, not God's. The gift isn't diminished because people corrupt the gift. The gift is still as good because it comes from a good source, a pure source, which is God. You know, sometimes I'm getting ahead of myself. In Ephesians 5:18, I read this earlier during worship. It says, do not get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. What Paul was doing was comparing opposites. It was kind of an old style of writing of description to compare, to make a point. And he was saying that the Spirit-filled Christian should not live in darkness and defeat, but in praise and victory. You know, Paul, I love Paul, because Paul was not a person that believed in a minimal walk with God. He did not believe in a moderate walk with God. This guy was radically extreme. But look what he did. God can do the same thing through us. The Spirit-filled life is the answer to a boring, lifeless, pathetic, nominal Christianity. If you're wondering, say, you know, I love Jesus, I love the idea of this, but I'm just kind of like, oh. Try the gift of the Holy Spirit. It'll revolutionize your life. And it will change you. It'll cause, you know, this whole thing called Christianity should be fun. It should be exciting. The things that God wants to do through us to touch other people should be rewarding and fulfilling and exhilarating. And Jesus hasn't changed. So the problem isn't with him, it's with us. You know, some of the other fears of speaking in tongues would be the misuse. You know, I said that earlier. People see one thing, they don't understand, and so they jump to conclusions. Or the whole robotic thing. God's going to make me into some kind of mechanized zombie for God. You know, the Bible says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. I can guarantee you that if someone was full of the power of the Holy Spirit and they just seemed like they were in another land and someone would run in here and say fire, that person would wake up really quick. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Question sometimes arises, can a person who's not filled with the Holy Spirit still go to heaven? Is that a prerequisite for heaven? No. But there's a better question. Why wouldn't we want the gift of the Holy Spirit if it empowers our life to have more impact in this world and to make our Christianity explode? Why wouldn't we want that? It helps us reach those goals that God has divinely purposed for our life. Those things he wants to accomplish are not going to be accomplished to the same degree as they would be if we were filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, if disciples hung out with him 3.5 years, Jesus said, you need it. How much more do we need it? Bottom line. That should end the argument right off the bat. I love it when Acts chapter 2, 14, Peter begins to stand up. When you get the time, read through Acts. If nothing else, you say, I don't want to read all those chapters, not that many, but read the first four at least, four or five. And you'll see that Peter, here's Peter, barroom brawling Peter, the guy that cut off, you know, the ear of the guard that came in the Garden of Gethsemane when they came to get Jesus. Here's Peter, and he begins to speak under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And he begins to preach to the crowds below, the first sermon after being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I love what he says. If you go to that next slide, you have another slide after that? No, that's not it. It's okay. But he declares some things within his message. He declares that Jesus is Lord, crucified, resurrected. He declares that Jesus has the power and authority to pour out the Holy Spirit on all believers. He declares that everyone should place their faith in Jesus Christ, repent, be baptized. He declares after faith and repentance, believers must expect the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. He declares that believers need to separate from sinful practices and live differently. And he declares that Jesus will return to restore God's kingdom completely. This is a guy named Peter, who all of a sudden, under the inspiration and power of the Holy Spirit, begins to speak out the window to all the people down below. And you have to understand, there were people there from every nation, it says. All men on earth were down below, hearing them speak in the tongue of their own language by people that shouldn't be able to speak. And of course, their response was, what's the manner of this? What are these men drunk? And that's when Peter said, we're not drunk on wine, but we are full of the Holy Spirit. The result of that empowerment that night in the upper room was massive. Go to that last 27. Yeah. Peter's word, it says, pierced their hearts. These people that heard. And they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Christ Jesus for forgiveness of sin. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promises to you and to your children and even the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourself from this crooked generation. Those who believe what Peter said were baptized and added to the church, about 3,000 people in all. Man, I could read that 100 times, every time be inspired that much more. Here's a guy talking for the first time because of the power and the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and he's speaking, and 3,000 people receive Jesus. It says that the Holy Spirit, because of the Holy Spirit, they were cut to the heart, pierced to the heart. And that's one of the things the Holy Spirit does. Do you realize without the Holy Spirit, we can't even find Jesus? Without the Holy Spirit, we can't be saved. We can't know what sin is and what the difference is and why we should accept Jesus. And that's what happened that day. Cut to the heart, and 3,000 souls. What's that worth? Is that worth more than a 5-year-old Jesus? We're brought into the kingdom of God that very day. Holy Spirit is a person. He is God. A baptizer in heavenly gifts and purposes that are divinely crafted for each one of us to fulfill. It's not over. They haven't passed away. They are for today, and they are for all who are hungry. Emphasis hungry. All who are hungry to know God more and to do more for their God. What it's about. Holy Spirit is not for us, it's for the purposes of God and our generation. The last verse, John. I like the message because of what it says below. It says the friend will come, talking about the Holy Spirit. Other versions say the counselor, the advocate, Holy Spirit. It says, let me say it again, this truth. It's, Jesus is talking. He said, it's better for you that I leave. Because they were, oh, Jesus, don't go. It's better for you that I leave. If I don't leave, the friend, the Holy Spirit, won't come. But if I go, I'll send him to you. And when he comes, he'll expose the error of the godless world's view of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He'll show them that their refusal to believe in me is their basic sin. And that righteousness comes from above, where I am with the Father, out of their sight and control. That judgment takes place as the ruler of this godless world is brought to trial and convicted. He'll expose the error of the godless of a godless world's view of sin, which is the refusal to believe in Jesus, the basic sin. All sin is wrapped up into that one thing, the denial of Christ. By the way we live, by the what we say, by what we do, but it's all the same. The basic error of the world is refusing Jesus. Father, I thank you for this day that you have created. This is the day that the Lord has made. We choose to rejoice and be glad in this day. Father, I thank you that your word is powerful and never returns empty. I thank you today that, Lord, you have sent your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, that you are here in this room. And you're ready to convict our hearts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The biggest one of all being that basic sin of unbelief. Father, there are people here in this room. I was one once. Oh, Lord, thank you for getting me out of that. I was just like that. Confused. Understanding something about religion, but not really understanding the freedom in Jesus. Living by the traditions of men more than the proof of the experience of knowing you, Jesus. And Father, I know, just as I felt at one time, there are people here in this room, the Holy Spirit, we ask that you cut to the heart, you pierce to the heart. Just like you did with those 3,000 that day. They said, what must we do And Peter cried out, "Repent and be saved." And you did the work, because God, all we can do is speak. But Holy Spirit, you're the one that convicts our heart. And you convict our heart not because you condemn. You convict our heart because your love for us is so great, that your patience has been so long, that you cry out for us again and time and time and again and again. If we will just respond to you, Father, it's not just about sin of murder, adultery, robbery, those things we list in the big sin category. You said that basic sin of unbelief, that's the one. That's the one. That's the mother. That's the one we need to deal with. Lord, you said that you're not slow in keeping your promise, as some misunderstand, or some understand slowness, but that you are patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but that everyone would come to repentance and to know you. And today, Holy Spirit, we ask that you do that in our lives. We have a full house today, God, and I thank you for it. And I believe the reason is because you love your people so much, you don't want them to walk away from your love. And today, Lord Jesus, we ask that as you pierce our hearts, that we might respond honestly and openly and say, "Lord, I don't want a spirit of religion. I don't want the confusion of the world. I don't want to live in the errors of this way. I want to live your way. I believe, Jesus, that you did all these things. And I believe, Jesus, I need to make my life right with you." And some of you, let me tell you, if you're not sure what that means, then what are you waiting for? The Bible says these things are written that you may know that you could have eternal life. And God loves you. You don't have to come to him any better than you came in this room today. He'll take you where you're at because he loves you that much, and he'll change your life if you just let him. That's how much he loves you. I don't know what the Holy Spirit is doing in your heart, but I believe there are many people here that you either need to make a first-time commitment to Jesus, ask him in, he'll do it. There's some of you here that have walked away from Jesus. There's some of you here that are living a nominal, moderate life in Jesus. You've got the 5-year-old Jesus. And that's not what Jesus has for you either. Don't be robbed of the best that he died for, which was he gave his best just for you. As this music is playing, you know, we're not going to do this big elaborate thing. I'm just going to ask you right now to be still before God, everyone in this room. If you're a believer, you pray for those that are not. Most important thing you could do right now. Just let the Holy Spirit begin to speak to you just for a second. Father, I thank you that the same way you reached down into my heart when I was spitting and kicking against you, you're reaching down into the hearts of people today. And I'm so excited because, God, I know, Holy Spirit, you're the one that does the work. All we can do is share the truth, but you do the work. You're the one that reveals the need. But today, God, we anticipate what you're going to do in the lives of people right now. I don't know what you're feeling or sensing, but if you say, I want to accept Jesus, or you've been living that nominal life and the Jesus you know is not the Jesus of the Bible, or maybe you've known Jesus but you've walked away and you're not where you know you need to be, and you've had all the excuses and reasons, but today the Holy Spirit is really saying, come back. I'm here for you. Come back. And I want you to stand right where you're at. No one's going to look around. Just stand up. Just stand quickly. Don't think about it, because the devil will lie to you. Just stand quickly. Respond because you know it's right. And you know what the Holy Spirit is doing in your heart right now. I'm going to give a couple more seconds here. Why do I ask you to stand? Because I believe that if you're not willing to take that kind of effort, then you're probably not serious about it anyway. Father, thank you for these two individuals that are standing. I praise you for them, God. Father, and I know both of them. I know they're already believers. That's not an issue. I know it's settled. But Lord, what they're saying is they don't want to be nominal. They want to go more. They want to do more. They want to see more. They want you to have more control of their life. But Lord, we ask right now that as they're praying, that you would just begin to strengthen and encourage them. Minister to them today. And Father, I pray next week, Holy Spirit, that you would fill them so gloriously full that their life would never be the same. Father, if you want to do it right now, go ahead. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Jesus. I believe as you two stood, God answered your prayers. I want the rest of us to stand just for a minute. We have coffee and things in the back. Don't worry, it's not going anywhere. But most of us have people around us, family, friends, neighbors, classmates, co-workers. We can make the list, but people that we know we want to see come to Christ. I hope you have taken inventory around you and you know people that desperately need Jesus. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit will break their hearts with the truth. What I'd like you to do right now is just begin to think of some of those people. We're going to pray together. And we're going to ask the Holy Spirit. You're going to ask the Holy Spirit to do a work in their lives. We're going to love them enough and care enough for the unlovely, the abandoned, even those that are lovely and those that aren't abandoned. We're going to pray for them too. And we're going to ask that the Holy Spirit really begin to pierce their heart with His love. And that you could be a part of that by praying and interceding for them right now. Lift up their names before the throne of heaven. Just do it in your own words and ask the Holy Spirit to prepare their heart to receive the things He has for them. Thank you, Jesus. God, let us believe consistently that you want to touch the people around us and you want to use us to touch them. Holy Spirit, do a deep work in the lives of our family, in the lives of our husbands, our wives, our children, our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers, our classmates. Father,
Pierce their hearts to receive the message that they no longer walk in darkness. God, bring them out into your life. Bring them out into your light. You used 120 men and women there at Pentecost to change the world. Use us, God. Use us, God. Use us, God. Let us not grow numb. Let us not grow indifferent. Let us not become minimal and nominal in our views of what you can do through our lives if we just believe. If we just believe. Believe that you want it more than we want it. You desire that none would perish, but all would come to have eternal life. We believe that. And we pray for each one of those people today. And God, put in our heart to pray for them continually, to not give up and to believe. And then use us, look that we might look for open doors that you could use us to talk to them about the truth of the love of Jesus. But use us in such a way and opportunities that it's a divine moment, that your words would flow through us to touch the hearts of people. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name. You believe it? Say amen. Amen.